The Radio Today program with Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
Hello, I'm Stuart Clarkson. Coming up this week, David Lloyd's Radio Moments. We're also going to hear from James Cridland on the great Norwegian experiment of switching off FM. I'm going to be talking as well to Kurt Edwards from Love Sport Radio, Kelvin McKenzie's brand new station that's just launched this week on AM and DAB in London, and Trevor Dan will be reporting from the BBC Radio Awards in London. First, though, let's catch up with some people at Radio Days Europe in Vienna. As we speak, it has just finished. Roy Martin and Will Jackson have been there covering for Radio Today Live. James Cridland is with us as well. And Roy, first, the 2019 location just announced at the end of this year's conference. Where are we going next year?
Indeed, we're staying in Europe, which is the shock news for a European radio conference. We're off to Switzerland, one of my favourite countries, and the town, is it a town or city?
City
of Lausanne.
Which looks lakeside. It looks a very nice romantic location. That should be nice. And that's going to be at the end of March, beginning of April next year.
Yes, 31st of March. I think it's a bank holiday in the UK as well, is it? Did James mention that earlier? So we're looking forward to that a little bit later, so it might even be a little bit warmer than it has been here in Vienna.
So the conference all started on Monday with Bob Shannon with his keynote speech. We've been covering that on Radio Today throughout the week. Three kind of key things that he talked about. One of those was about audio and delivery of that and podcasts in particular. Let's have a listen to something that Bob said on stage.
In 2017, 240 million BBC podcasts were downloaded, an increase of 12% in a year. Our podcasts top the charts, and they're some of the most popular in the world. And yet, there are nearly 2 million podcast listeners in the UK who don't consume any BBC radio at all. So, we're commissioning digital-first content aimed at serving younger audiences. We're about to announce the appointment of a new podcast commissioner who will nurture the development of content outside of our station brands.
So since we've got James with us, who's our futurologist in the industry, James, is the BBC going in the right direction here with podcasts?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there are lots of broadcasters across the world who are focusing more on podcasts now and more on not just repurposing bits of content that they've made for their radio stations, but actually producing stuff which actually works rather better as a podcast. So, yeah, you know, I think that they're doing the right thing. I think that they're, you know, that their announcement of a new app as well that will, my understanding is, will also include podcasts, kind of makes sense because, you know, iPlayer Radio doesn't actually have any podcasts in it, oddly. So I think that all makes sense too. So I think they're on the right stretch there.
And there was various other discussions about podcasts at Radio Days this year. I know today there's been a session about where podcasting is going. Is there a new direction? I know we've seen it kind of expand exponentially, the podcast world, but is it moving in a new direction or are we just getting more of what we've had?
No, I think it is moving in a bit of a new direction. We're seeing lots of radio companies across the world actually beginning to tie up with podcast companies. So if you have a look in my home country of Australia, then you know Southern Cross Austereo has done has tied up with Podcast One, which is a big podcast network in the US. Nova Entertainment have tied up with Acast, and so on. So actually, you're seeing radio companies who are beginning to produce much more interesting podcast content, but who are also going out and selling audio advertising, which is something that radio companies are really good at doing, onto podcasts as well as onto their radio stations. So, you know, there's certainly a bit of a change now in terms of where radio stations are going in terms of that.
And I think you've been saying for at least 15 years now the future of radio is hybrid. Bob Shannon essentially said that. I don't know whether he actually used the hybrid word, but that must have been pleasing to finally hear him say, actually, mixed economy platforms is where we're heading.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been saying, I think hybrid in this instance is a little different, but I think I've always been saying that the future of radio is a multi-platform future. And what Bob was basically saying there was that, you know, the future of radio will, of course, include DAB, will of course include the internet, and FM isn't probably going anywhere particularly quickly. And I think he's absolutely right. You know, the future of radio is a multi-platform future. What's also interesting is the conversations around hybrid radio, a bit more technical here at Radio Days. There's an Audi outside in the exhibition area, which is showing a fancy radio in there, which, you know, you tune in using logos and it'll automatically switch in between DAB. And, you know, if by some amazement you can't actually get a DAB signal, it will switch over onto the internet and back again, you know. And so that sort of hybrid stuff is really useful too, in terms of making radio appear much more technologically clever in the future. So I think, you know, there's two conversations going on here, and I think that they are absolutely right in terms of where the future of radio is going.
Well, Bob ended his keynote with a bit of a rallying call to the industry to work together a bit more.
For many years, in spaces like this, we have gathered as allies and rivals, public radio versus commercial, commercial versus commercial. But today it's really time for all of us in radio to come together as one united industry to secure our future. We should go faster and further in identifying our shared goals. We should safeguard radio as a force for good and defend choice for our audiences by reinventing radio for the next century.
And with Radio Days Europe, obviously there is a lot of working together going on, but Will, here in the UK, is Bob's vision something that we might actually see? Because we know with one of the commercial radio groups in particular, Global, pulling out of the Radio Academy and the awards, do we need to get Global back into that fold to play on a level playing field with everybody?
Yeah, and I think there's been a couple of significant developments. Global tweeted their support for what Bob was saying. They agreed broadly with what he was going on about with FM having a future, the future not being DAB only. And there was also that was also echoed by Siobhan from Radio Centre on the same stage, a couple of speakers after Bob, again calling for the whole industry to come together to reinvent and grow radio, to use the BBC's phrase.
We got a first look as well this week at Absolute Radio's new breakfast presenter, Dave Berry. He was only announced last Thursday as the replacement for Christian O'Connell Roy, and he didn't really give us any clues about what the new show is going to be like.
No, I think I clipped a bit of the speech for you where the question was, so it's the session about how to launch a new show. What's going to be in your new show, Dave?
We haven't even thought about it yet.
Okay.
Here to talk about planning shows. Yeah. I think, well, Paul said just remember to say good morning and not good afternoon.
Right.
Which I think I could just about manage.
It was interesting when asked if it was always the plan for Dave to move to breakfast, and the answer was yes. He came on to the Drive Time show. He joined the station knowing that one day he'd be on breakfast, so they created the Drive Time show as a breakfast show format. So it should be quite interesting when he eventually moves to the breakfast show.
Okay, Roy, James, Will, any other sessions at Radio Days that have stuck out for you as memorable moments from the last few days?
Well, I think it was nice to see, as we've talked about, Global being more part of the industry. There was actually a rare sighting of a speaker from Global Radio in the wild at a session. And Stuart Mays did a really good job of explaining Global's philosophy and their approach of being everywhere people are consuming music and entertainment. And I think people, when you hear it explained as Stuart did, you kind of go, oh yeah, this is more than just sticking heart on a load of stations. And it was really good and encouraging to hear them, and maybe they can go out and do a bit more of this as part of Bob's rallying cry to work together.
James?
Yeah, I saw a bunch of interesting sessions. It was lovely seeing Jeff Lloyd and Ed Miliband talk about a podcast that you can't really do on the radio, because you're really talking about political ideas and all that kind of stuff. That was a really nice talk. I think You know, it was interesting hearing a lot about smart speakers. You know, that was a theme that continued all the way through. So I think, you know, yeah, it's been a really interesting couple of days. And, you know, clearly, you know, themes around podcasting, around smart speakers, all of that kind of stuff has been very much part of the entire day.
Well, it's the New Look Radio Today programme podcast with me, Stuart Clarkson. And one of the things we're going to do each week is get a guest on, or some guests with me and Roy, to talk about what's been making the news this week. Roy, one of the big stories covered on Radio Today was Rock Radio Glasgow. It's not on the air yet. It won a licence from Ofcom 18 months ago, and it's been bought out.
Indeed, yeah. Nation Broadcasting has left Wales. Obviously, it went to London with Thames Radio, but it's gone into Scotland for the first time. Taking the licence for Glasgow and Central West Scotland, and will launch Nation Radio Scotland, I presume, on 96.3 and on DAB in Scotland. A move I didn't predict coming. I was looking forward to the guys who ran Rock Radio under GMG to come back and relive the glory days of rock radio. They even have Nick Cody on the imaging at the moment saying, rock radio is coming soon. So I'm guessing all that's going to disappear. And we'll have somebody saying, Nation Radio is on its way.
One of the other big stories is Lynn Bowles announcing that she's leaving Radio 2, since we've got Will here, former Traffic Link boss. Lynn Bowles, a legend of travel news, even better than when you and I used to read it.
Absolutely. And she's such a key part of the Ken Bruce show. And her contribution to that goes way beyond just doing the travel news. But what was nice was, one, that she'll continue to present on BBC Radio Wales on a Sunday, and two, she tweeted that she'd been completely overwhelmed by the feedback from listeners who really seem to have genuinely taken her to heart. So it is absolutely the end of an era at Radio 2.
We're going to hear from her next week on the Radio Today programme, actually. We've got that booked in to do later in the week, so we'll hear from her next week. And one of the things I wanted to ask her is about the relevance of travel news these days. Do you think it's still got a place? Do you think Radio 2 will keep it as prominent as it has been with her throughout the mornings?
Absolutely. I think the feedback from listeners is it's something that they still want. I think it's evolving, obviously, as there's more in-car information systems and apps and so on. That's still going, you know, radio still will be a key source of travel information, supplementing that information. Obviously, also, it's a big revenue driver from for commercial radio, from Global Traffic Network and so on. And there was an interesting point, actually, at the Radio Days Europe session where somebody said, look, actually, listeners are now coming in to the programme informed. So what's the added value you're going to give them? And that's something that Lynn does. She gives more than just the travel news.
Yeah, and Lynn will be with us on the Radio Today programme next week. Will, James, Roy, thank you very much from Vienna. Safe trips back. Next on the Radio Today programme, we'll hear about Love Sport Radio.
Your best content, shareable and discoverable on any platform. Oasis from Broadcast Bionics helps you build a closer relationship with your listeners. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk.
Kurt Edwards is with us. He's the commercial director at Love Sport Radio, just launched this week. Welcome to the show, Kurt.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us a bit of the background, first of all. How did this station come about? It's Kelvin McKenzie's big return to radio, isn't it?
Yes. as a headline, that probably works. Look, I mean, for those of you who don't know Kelvin McKenzie, Kelvin was the original founder of TalkSport Radio many years ago. He eventually sold that off to the Wireless Group for lots of money. And I think deep down, Kelvin has always had a passion for radio. He absolutely loves sport. And over time, he just felt, look, you know, TalkSport was a big commercial success. It's a great station. But why in a city like London, a global city, should a station like TalkSport have a monopoly when it comes to commercial sports broadcasting? And Kelvin just sort of had a long-term ambition to sort of launch something different in a city like London. So I met Kelvin in sort of October of last year, and Kelvin shared his sort of plans and to sort of launch this station, and we sort of started on the project. And we launched really 2 weeks ago. been very quiet about it, but today is on the 19th is our sort of official launch.
And you're on a level playing field in London with TalkSport, essentially, because you're on medium wave and you're on DAB.
Yes. And we felt we had to be on medium wave in London for us to be able to scale up very quickly. I think in TalkSport's case, I think nationally, 70% of their listening is still AM, and sort of in London, it's nearer 50%. And we felt we had to be investing in medium wave for us to sort of build the scale quickly here in this city.
And I think it was originally going to be called City Sport, is that right? But you changed the name. Was there a reason for doing that?
Not that I can reference. It's sort of we had an objection from another broadcaster, shall we say, with regards to the usage of that name. And we decided to go with Love Sport. And it worked. I think we've had more positive feedback about the name Love Sport than we did about City Sport. So in the end, it's worked out well.
And the lineup of presenters that you've got, there are some names that people have heard of, which for a kind of startup station, that's a good idea to bring in some audience. Tell us about who you've got on the air.
So starting the day is Ian Stone, as London as can be. He's a big Arsenal fan, contributes a lot to sort of Arsenal or fan platforms and the fanzine. And he's also the host of the Comedy Store here in London. So he loves sport, loves broadcasting, loves working in radio, and sort of was really keen to sort of wake London up. And he's been, the first 2 weeks have gone really well for him. He's finding it hard to get up at 3:30 in the morning, but it's a good start. And today we had Ed Bauscher and Kelvin McKenzie. Ed Bauscher used to work on Share Radio, and he's doing mid-mornings. Then after him at 1, we have Kevin O'Sullivan, who sort of fame really comes from being the big sort of TV critic across the Daily Mirror and works with the Right Stuff. And in the afternoons, we have Brian Moore, who comes on, ex-England rugby international, and he does a sort of show from 4 to 7. And that's called The Brian Moore Show, and that's the first time sort of Brian has anchored his own show. But what we believe is really unique for the station is that in the evening we do fan shows. And what I mean by that is every London club now has its own dedicated fan show. And what we did is we went out and found what we believe are some of the best club podcasters out there. And we worked with them to sort of bring them to air and give them a much bigger canvas to help them become the voice of their club. So, for example, if you take tonight, we have the West Ham World coming on at 7 till 9, followed by Charlton Live. And across the whole week, each club has its own show. And that's been really successful for us. As you can imagine, all of these presenters have their own big social media followings. And for clubs like, you know, AFC Wimbledon or Millwall or Brentford or Fulham, they would never have had their own show on London radio before. So that's got real traction for us very quickly.
And is it all sport? Have you got some non-sport shows as well?
No, the Ofcom remit is very much 50% sport, 50% news and current affairs. I think the best way to describe it is at one end of the spectrum in London, you have LBC, which is all news. At the other end, you have TalkSport, 100% sport. But nothing really in the middle. So it's sort of, we're firmly positioned as, you know, you can be a sports fan, but why not also get your latest news and current affairs? So Love Sport is sort of firmly positioned in between those two offerings in London.
So you've got people like Jerry Hayes and Lembit Opik and Charlie Wolfe on, who are obviously quite outspoken in their views as well.
Yes. So the thinking behind it is sort of morning, so breakfast and drive time will be sport. Between those two shows is news, current affairs. Then after drive time, we go into the fan shows. And then when those finish at 10 o'clock, we go back into sort of news and current affairs. So Lembit is very much in the evenings. Jerry Hayes is Sunday afternoons. Charlie Wolfe is Sunday evenings. So it's a good mix across the station.
And how are you finding it commercially? Are there clients coming on board already?
Yes, we've got two big partners. 7OTB is our exclusive betting partner. So they came on board to have signed a 15-month deal with us. So that's a company that the CEO is Ledley King, ex-Spurs player. And they're a new sort of, at the moment, they offer a game similar to Sky Sports Super 6, where sort of listeners can win a million if they guess sort of matches right. And then the second partner is a charity partner that we're just about to announce next week, who's come on board, and they've signed up with us for a year as well. So we're delighted that we've sort of managed to get two partners on board. Look, I think it's fair to say it's a busy market in London, but at the same time, radio is enjoying a real wave of confidence from buyers and media agencies and clients. And look, it's up to us to go into market and convince that we have something unique and a safe environment for brands to work in.
I suppose what I'm getting at is, as you'll know from TalkSport, speech radio isn't a cheap product to make when you're playing a lot of music. Obviously, you've got PRS and things to play, but it's not a speech broadcaster on the air 24/7. So we've seen stations like Share Radio who kind of came and went and it didn't work for them financially. How confident are you that you can make it work for the long run?
Very confident. I mean, we've got some really good investors. Nigel Ray, who owns Saracens, is an investor with us. Stephen Lansdowne of Hargreaves Lansdowne Financial Services and owns Bristol Football Club. Richard Murray of Charlton, along with Kelvin, have put the money in and sort of have a long-term ambition. Yes, it doesn't get any cheaper to run a speech radio station, but we're confident that if we can offer something unique, we can bring advertisers on board. What we're doing very different from some of those other broadcasters is that we're currently only running 6 minutes per hour of commercial minutage. The insight that we see is sort of from speech radio stations, probably the biggest critique is the amount of ads that a lot of those stations carry. So we're more determined to work more with station partners and sponsors and lessen the load of spot advertising.
I suppose the other key thing in London is because there are so many stations, it's about the marketing that you do and get that right, I guess.
Yes. And look, it's not easy to create cut through very quickly. Across the talent and the fan shows, we have over 1 million followers on Twitter. So we're using the talent very much so in the beginning to sort of create awareness of their shows and of the station itself. We are doing some marketing, working with digital screens on black cabs in London, and there'll be a PR sort of campaign starting in the coming weeks, sort of leveraging the talent that we have on the station. And at the same time, we're looking for marketing opportunities that we feel can make a difference. But it's a limited budget in terms of marketing, so we just need to be really confident that when we do invest, it's going to have a sort of deliver quick results for us.
And have you got plans to get bigger, to go national perhaps one day?
I wouldn't say no. We're using London very much as a sort of that springboard to hopefully one day go national. But we want to get it right here in London. It could be that, you know, that's a 3-year, 5-year, 10-year plan. We just don't know. But we want to, if we can crack London, then we feel like we're confident of being able to roll out. But, look, it's about getting distribution as much as we can. We launched our Alexa skill last week. So Love Sport is now on Alexa. We're on DAB, digital platforms, medium wave. So as much distribution as we can get to help us scale up quickly.
And it's been a big job these last few months.
Yeah, look, you know, we started with a blank piece of paper in December last year and we launched on March the 5th. You know, so in sort of 10 weeks, we were able to launch a speech radio station, which is a phenomenal speed. Talent have been really sort of giving in terms of sort of wanting to work. And we're just confident that we can do something different and sort of scale up very quickly. In the market, agencies and advertisers seem to be very receptive. They like the idea of having more choice. They like the idea of having another sports radio station to look at. So, it's just going to take time. But, you know, the story's good. And people seem to be very receptive.
And I know you previously worked at TalkSport and at KISS for EMAP and before that at Capital for quite a few years. How are you finding things to be different these days?
I mean, this is the first time I've worked up in a sort of startup environment in broadcasting. And I suppose the best way to sort of describe it is in those early days of Capital, many years back when, you know, Chris Tarrant was broadcasting in the mornings and sort of... It wasn't as corporate, you know, you could sort of walk into the studios, talk to the presenters and have fun. Radio was fun. I think it's sort of over the years, radio has become less fun, very corporate. And sort of there's distance kept between sort of people, staff and presenters. And that's just the way it is. It's more of a business now. But I think the great thing here at Love Sport is we're all on one floor, one room. Everyone knows everyone. We're really close to all the presenters. They come in, they're part of the team, and it's fun. It's fun to be working here. It's a great environment, and, you know, hopefully that can come across in the station. And at the end of the day, we want to put a smile on the faces of our staff, but also the listeners that we're broadcasting to.
And how hands-on is Kelvin as a boss?
He's just finished his first show today, between 10 and 11. He's looking to come on maybe once a week and sort of offer his opinion. He's very hands-on when it comes to content. He's got lots of ideas, as you'd imagine. It's great to have that experience around the office. But at the same time, he's fully aware that these things evolve over time, and it takes time to bed in presenters and sort of shows create their own sort of sound and over time. And he's sort of thankfully bearing with us.
Kurt Edwards, commercial director at Love Sport Radio, on 558, the old laser frequency used by Spectrum recently, and on DAB in London as well. You can find out more at lovesportradio.com.
Hey, I'm Josh Collins.
I'm Chris.
I'm Mark Gale.
Hi, I'm Amber Stone.
Hi, I'm Stephen Daly.
I'm Sarah Hughes.
Hi, I'm Matt Shields.
I'm James Martin.
Hello, I'm Graham Torrington, and we're all available for your station today via voicetrackerhub.com.
Need a last-minute show covered? Or have a regular weekend show going?
CHR.
Hot AC.
Gold.
We've got you covered with top-class talent from around the world.
Search according to formats and budget and contact presenters directly.
Find your remote radio talent today.
VoiceTrackerHub.com.
It is the weekly podcast from Radio Today. I'm Stuart Clarkson. We've got David Lloyd's Radio Moments to come. Also, we'll be hearing from Trevor Dan at the BBC Radio Awards. First, more James Cridland this week. He's going to be on every week now with his thoughts on stuff going on in the radio industry. And this time, he's talking about FM switch-off in Norway.
On In Radio, and wherever you get your podcasts, I'm James Cridland, the radio futurologist. This week, the Norwegian experiment, switching off FM. I'm in the cold and snowy environment of Vienna in Austria this week at the world's largest radio conference, Radio Days Europe. 1,600 delegates are here, according to a pull-up poster, and they never lie. Last Sunday, I moderated a special workshop on the Norwegian decision last year to switch off FM. And they've now done that for all national and many local radio stations. And by market share, 95% of all radio listened to is now no longer on FM, but online and on DAB+. Now, DAB+, as you know, is broadcast radio. It's a speaker in a box with an antenna receiving a signal broadcast from on top of a hill somewhere. There's no SIM card or data plan, but you do need a brand new radio, of course. Online radio is quite different and quite small in comparison. Turning off FM was pretty courageous. The public service broadcaster did it to get more stations on air, moving from 3 national stations to over 10 and saving lots of money in transmission costs. The commercial stations did it to be able to run 8 stations instead of just 1, and a relaxation in content regulation as well. In all, a typical Norwegian has moved from 5 stations on FM to more than 35 on DAB. The last FM transmitters went silent in December, and weekly PPM measurement has been measuring what the audience have been doing. So the special workshop was a way of reporting back to the industry the effect of switching off FM. And the answer is surprisingly little effect. Commercial radio has grown slightly in market share. Public radio has slightly shrunk. Daily radio listening is down by about 10%, but weekly listening year on year appears to have dipped by less than 2%. So it's not been a massive success, not that anyone was expecting that, but neither has it been a massive failure either. The commercial stations were quiet when I asked them about revenue, but it sounds as though, even though they're running 8 stations instead of just 1, their costs haven't changed much. A relaxation on content rules has helped. They feel they've made radio fit for the future. The friendly Norwegians are keen that other countries learn from what they did, and in the room was at least one delegate from Switzerland, the country that will probably be next to turn off FM. 60% of radio listening is on DAB Plus in the country already, and they're keen to complete switchover by 2022 or even earlier. And it's also interesting to spot a happy band of keyboard warriors keenly sending nonsensical emails to journalists about how bad DAB is in Norway and what a awful thing it is. It's a lovely thing that radio gets people so emotional. And whether it's HD radio or DAB in the UK, there's something about transmission techniques for radio that works people up. And I'm delighted that people care so much. Meanwhile, wait for May the 17th and we'll get some clarity from the UK, because that's the next release of radio listening from that country, and it'll probably be the survey where digital listening goes above 50% for the first time. That'll be the trigger for digital switchover, say the industry, which isn't entirely true. It'll be instead the trigger for the government to consider it. And after years of the UK radio industry excitedly talking it up, they appear to be keen now to urge caution. Anyway, the Norwegians have put their story online. I think it's on there at radiodso.com. That's radiodso.com. That'll find their website with lots of data and lots of information, and it's worth a read. You can get my weekly newsletter at james.crid.land and daily podcast news at podnews.net. And until next time, keep listening.
Broadcast Bionics, innovative solutions for creative radio people.
You're listening to the weekly podcast from Radio Today. I'm Stuart Clarkson, and if you're missing our old host, Trevor Dan, you'll be pleased to hear he will still be popping up on the Radio Today programme with some special reports and also doing our monthly roundtable editions as well. And this week, we sent him to the BBC Radio Theatre because awards season's still in full swing.
BBC Radio and Music Awards, or as Greg James, the host, called them, the Shenans. How do you feel about that, Bob?
Well, rather embarrassing, really, isn't it? He was very good, Greg, don't you think?
He was very, very good. He was it was a lovely evening.
It's a very nice atmosphere, isn't it? A very nice vibe, and I'm really glad we've got all the indies with us
as
well.
The indies on board, yeah. I'm
glad we've opened it to BBC Music, because there was nothing they could be a part of in terms of internal awards, and it's always just such a great pleasure to see all the different people who make up BBC Radio's output in one place. And you know, they don't see each other very often, and that's why there's such a buzz and such a warm, and it was a lovely warm atmosphere. And the Nicholas Parsons moment was just perfect.
Gold award winner,
two standing ovations during the course of the evening, and an amazing man and an amazing sort of pioneer of great radio.
It must be great for you sitting in your, if I may say so, ivory tower to see how brilliant the BBC is when it can get everybody outside of its silos. And obviously One Love Manchester, big winner tonight. But you can see how, when the BBC wants to, it can pull all those glass ceilings and all those brick walls down and just all work together.
And, you know, we need to do that more. We really, really do. And, you know, it is always a pleasure for me when I get those groups of people together from different stations or different companies, and they're just really talking about radio, and they are unbelievably bigger than the sum of their parts when they do that. Unfortunately, we then go back to our kind of slight conveyor belt mentality, because it's, you know, we're knocking out 24/7 output. But tonight is a night where, you know, everybody feels a part of something that is very special, just as you are, and the people from Five Live who've hoovered up the awards tonight. And it feels, it's a generous atmosphere and an enjoyable one, and also in a brilliant place. That radio theatre is such a wonderful place to do it. So yeah, fun night and a very enjoyable one.
Well done, Bob, and thank you for inviting the Radio Today programme.
Great pleasure.
I'm Ken Phillips, and I look after the Radio Outside broadcast team within Radio Music Operations.
So big night for you with One Love Manchester. I have to say, watching that video, there was a tear in the eye. That was a very moving experience, just watching it. So what was making it like?
It was really quite extraordinary. So when you're in the middle of putting something like that together, you don't really have that much time to think about it. But as soon as that concert started, you could feel the poignancy in the air. It was truly remarkable, really an extraordinary honour just to be a little part of that extraordinary national moment, I suppose.
My time goes back to Live Aid, of course, and I know how difficult it was then to get radio and television to work together. My sense was that it's got a bit easier.
Well, yes, absolutely, but also 5.5 days, I think. You know, no one's got any time to be arguing about this or that. You just get on with it. And so, yes, it worked incredibly well as a collaboration across TV, across the production teams, across radio teams. Just the whole thing just worked.
Just pick out one moment for you.
Gosh, that's really hard. There was the moment where Ariana Grande was singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow. That song is just so extraordinary. It's just so emotional anyway. But at that concert, at that moment, really, that was quite something. The other thing to say, of course, was that this was a thing where radio came together across the country, across the world, because community stations, student stations, big commercial groups, little commercial stations, all took feeds of One Love Manchester so they could put their own output around it. And that was really very, very special, because I know that there were some student stations who around Manchester who felt they were part of a moment that was just so extraordinary, and they were able to add something to that for their audiences. And that was properly, truly remarkable.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
We've got the winners of the podcast of the year here. Dino, you're the producer. Chris Mason, what's the difference between making Brexitcast and being on the radio?
I think it was the blank piece of paper we started with, which is powerfully liberating. Because even if only subconsciously, you're liberated from all the usual structures that rattle around in your head in radio, even if you're quite keen to shake them off. I think there's two things that we sort of took as our sort of mantra at the start. One is, which you can never do in linear radio, it only has to be as long as we think it should be. We're not trying to fill a slot. Although actually, since we got a bit more popular, they now put us on the radio and so we have to fill a slot. But that was the original thought. And then secondly, and this is a great challenge, and at first I thought it would be quite disorientating, but normally when you're doing linear output, particularly if you're talking about something like Brexit, you're conscious that the average listener probably only has a fleeting interest in what you're talking about. You're constantly broadening out to keenly aware of making it relevant to the lay listener. Whereas somebody who is clicking on something called Brexitcast is far from a typical listener. And yes, to an extent, therefore, you're narrowcasting rather than broadcasting. But you can really relish the detail. But I think the great joy of it really has been that hopefully, and Five Live have really embraced it, which has been fantastic, you can do that thing of thinking, right, hang on a minute, you can be human, you can be normal, hopefully, light-hearted, maybe even occasionally funny, intentionally or otherwise, but you can also be intelligent, thoughtful, probing, scrutinising, all in the same thing.
Yeah. Those first things you said are the things that you as a producer, Dino, would normally tell them they can't be when they're on the radio, because they're meant to be impartial.
Well, everyone is still very impartial. That's not an issue, and we're impartial behind the scenes as well as on mic. I think one of the great things about podcasts is you get two goes if you need to. Yeah. So if somebody goes over the line with a gag or something, you've just got that safety net knowing that we can take that bit out. Mm. And sometimes we say something, go, say that bit out. And sometimes I leave it in, but that's a judgment afterwards.
Do you ever hear the Romaniacs podcast?
I've heard it a couple of times, yeah.
What do you make of that?
I like it, but it's a completely different podcast to ours, because they're coming from an angle and we're not coming... Our angle is basically telling the story, and what you've got in Chris, Adam, Laura and Katya is people who are at the top of their game, who are talking to the people right at the heart of the story. I mean, Laura and Katya, when they sort of... They'll literally get in the studio, open their notebooks, and they've been talking to the people who've been sat with, you know, Theresa May and the people at the top of the EU. So you're getting it from the horse's mouth, effectively. And also, we don't have to do endless boring interviews with politicians just for the sake of it. We can just tell people what is really going on with a bit of humour. And if it goes a bit wrong, nobody cares. And the other thing about my job is that I don't really have a job, because I actively don't produce Brexitcast. I basically get in, just make sure they're all in the room at the same time. We open the faders, and sometimes we'll... You know, I'll shout down the talkback, oh, remembered, let's talk about that today. But we don't have a running order, we don't have a meeting before. In fact, when they start talking about what they're going to talk about in the podcast, I shout down the talkback, stop it.
You know? Yeah. It's very liberating then, Chris.
Hugely, hugely liberating. Because it's a proper conversation. I mean, all radio should be a proper conversation. But the strictures around conventional linear radio can sometimes make that difficult and force you into formulas that don't sound natural, and the listener can tell that they don't sound natural. I think, as Dino says, what really turbocharged us was, well, two things I think were absolutely crucial. One was, for the first 4 or 5 months, none of the bosses cared, and even fewer of them listened. And that gave us great scope to do what we want and experiment and go down all sorts of rabbit holes that we needed to discreetly reverse out of. The other two things were the recruitment of Laura and Katja, who are the stars, really. Adam and I are the sort of pond life, and Laura and Katja are the stars. And at first we thought, oh, you know, are they going to want to do it? You know, they're used to talking to millions, so they want to talk to thousands, tens of thousands. And what's been terrific is that they genuinely love doing it, because no matter what platform they're on, Today programme, 10 o'clock news, you know, if you go on the Today programme, you're only going to have, as a correspondent, 3 minutes.
You're told to wrap up before you open your gob, basically. Yeah.
They can do, I mean, Katja does 3-minute monologues. They're the short ones.
That's the one bit of editing I do have to do. I'm joking.
Congratulations, guys. Fantastic. Best podcast of the year. I mean, that's a big win.
It's such a big year for podcasts.
Yeah, in a big year for podcasts, it really is quite something.
Well done.
So, yeah,
thanks.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Probably the biggest winners tonight, Five Live. Introduce yourselves.
So I'm Tim Lavelle. I'm editor of Five Live Daily, the morning show on Five Live.
And I'm Tracy Williams. I'm editor of the afternoon show.
Now, Chris Mason just said to me, and he's not the only person, Five Live is going through a golden age. It's getting better than it used to be. What's changing?
I think that we've really, that's very kind of you to say so, I'm very kind of him to say so. I think we're just experimenting more, and I think we really understand that for Five Live was created over 20 years ago, and at that point it really tapped into what 20s and 30s wanted to listen to, and then it's carried that audience with it over the last 20 years. But with, you know, the changes in listening and the changes in radio, we've really understood even more than before that we need to go kind of hell for leather for those 20s and 30 somethings again in a really fresh way. It's not to say we didn't do it over the last 15 years, but I think, and we've got Jono, our controller, Rosina, the head of news, have really said, let's experiment more. Let's try some new things. And even if we fail, at least we should try them. And we've really thought about young people, women, and people from diverse backgrounds. And some of the kind of one-off things we've tried are the things that have got recognized tonight, because they're definitely experimental. Some of them we couldn't do every day of the week. It's almost like concept cars at a motor show. And what we're then seeing is some of those learnings and experimentation sort of filtering through to the daily output. What now would you say, Tracy?
Here's the thing though, Tracy. I'm going to say, I think the idea of Five Live 10 years ago was, how short can we make everything? Let's do bite-sized stuff for people with low attention span. And the recent successes of Five Live are about deep diving into things. Yeah. They're about the long listen, the long read.
Well, I think 10 years ago it was, our very remit was live news, live sport. And that's changed. The whole way that people are consuming news has changed. So we've grappled with that, and we've tried to find our place and what we are now. And I think we're slowly finding it, and that we're actually telling people's stories, and that the unheard stories, that the stories that no one else is telling, that the stories from around the country. And we're learning that actually it's okay to give time to tell those stories. And maybe that's what you're seeing, those stories in more depth, and without us feeling the pressure of, like, we've got to take that breaking statement, we've got to take that press conference.
Well,
we don't feel that anymore.
Yeah, my experience as a listener is that if I had to define Five Live's news coverage, it would be not the Today programme. By which I mean, not that it's just a little more relaxed, but that it doesn't seem to be worried about shutting everybody up all the time.
We want to hear from everyone. Yeah. That's what we want.
And you let things run, and it's a bit more discursive.
I mean, I always tell my team, we can do whatever we want. And
that's the kind of producer we all want.
That's a nice place to be, though. We can. We can do whatever we want, because our audience will accept that if it's told in a good way.
I think Tracy's absolutely right about the way that the audience has changed around breaking news. So 10, 15 years ago, we didn't have the internet, we know this. And so people wanted breaking news, they had to go to like a continuous channel like Five Live. Well, now there are ways that are as fast, Twitter, social media, the internet, whatever, where you can get breaking news. And so Five Live's its stock in trade, so 15 years ago, was effectively holding a microphone to an unfolding event. But then we did some audience research a couple of years ago, and there was a phrase that stuck in my mind that I found very helpful, where what they said was, it's like a busy, crazy world out there, and we need a radio station that will help us make sense of it. So actually what we do, Tracy just mentioned about live statements, so instead of taking some live statements for sort of 25 minutes on end, what we'll do is we'll say it's happening, but then sort of 15, 20 minutes later, we'll have had someone listen to it, we'll take the best 2-minute chunk from the statements, kind of almost like we're condensing people. We're giving people their curated take on the world, slightly overused phrase, word curated. And then we'll kind of explain it and get reaction and also involve the listeners. So it's a slightly, I think it's almost like we're not the unvarnished place of breaking news. We're the place where you can help understand the world better and understand the breaking news and understand the world you live in as well, the world that ordinary people around the UK live in.
Grace Dent, two awards tonight for The Untold. It's a really fascinating idea for a show. How did they originally sell it to you?
You know, like most BBC projects, when they first got me in for the first meeting, I don't think they knew what they wanted. The first audition that I did for it was a completely different programme. And the first series, we were learning as we went. We had a basic premise that it was real people in a real situation, and we couldn't tell the story in hindsight. It had to be happening right then, which meant that the producer really had to get in amongst somebody who was going through something. They had to let us in, and then we had to follow them. The problem that we found right away, and we should have known it, is human beings don't act in the way that they're meant to. So we might follow someone for 8 weeks and they've got this great dream, this vision, and then after 8 weeks they just go, I don't care anymore. You know, and like that is one of the reasons I love the show, because it's about human beings, and human beings are, their lives are bumpy. And, you know, if I was speaking to my mother on the phone and she tells me a story about someone four doors down, that is the kind of stuff that happens. People are disappointing. They are flaky. They are passionate. They do strange and stupid things. And that's what I love about the show.
My sense is that you're very much part of it. It's not a question of the producers make it and then you turn up and narrate it, which might have been how a show like this was made a few years ago. But you live it, don't you?
I completely live it, but I'm really nosy. I am really, really nosy. And I love people, and I love stories, and I love the fact that we can bring proper... You know, a lot of these people are really working class, really normal, from the kind of backgrounds that I'm from. So I empathise like hell with what they're going through. And yeah, I do live it, you know, and it's galling, and some of the stories really stay with you. And, you know, dealing with the producers when they've let their heart get involved, because we do in radio, I think we're all, you know, I think that we're often massively unprofessional in a wonderful way, and they get upset and I get upset, you know, like with Georgia, who I've just said goodbye to, who I did The Missing with, you know. We've had people like die halfway through recording, and, you know, get incredibly ill, and, you know, people when they're skint and they're trying to like scratch around to get the money to like bury people. And, you know, we're there in their living rooms, which is why, you know, we said a big thank you to, like, because at the end of the day, it's about the people. It's about the subjects. It's, you know, our egos are lovely, and it's lovely to have a nice glass of the Chateau Neuf de Pape.
The wine was poor, let's be honest.
It was awful.
The white. I've never had such a sugary white wine.
Do you know what I call BBC wine? It's wolf juice. That's all it is. Basically, you come in on an empty stomach after a hard day at the studio, you have three glasses, and then you have to be kept away from anyone in power, because you just want to, all you want to do is stagger up. About my pay, or lack of pay.
It's so ghastly, we should go and have some more.
That's exactly,
congratulations.
I can't get enough. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to speak to you.
Well, there's been much talk of late about women on the radio, hasn't there? And here's one great example. Olga Collett. At the BBC, she was the first woman to commentate an outside broadcast back in 1937. But this week in 1939, along with John Snagg, Olga was charged with commentating at a command performance at Covent Garden in honour of the visit by the French president and Madame Lebrun. The press reported they would describe the scene in the auditorium. However, the guests were very late, and good old Olga had to fill in for over half an hour. She was later, quite rightly, applauded for her incredible performance. Here she is reflecting on her art to poor John Lane.
Now, let's go to this first broadcast on fashion, because you did the fashion rather than the racing from Ascot.
I never did anything of the sort, and you happen to put your finger on a very sore point. I refused from the start to be a woman commentator. I said, I will be a commentator or nothing. I will not describe fashions, and I never did.
Olga Collett. With the weather having been so challenging in recent weeks, spare a thought for what it would have been like as a pirate broadcaster in the North Sea. It was this week in 1980 that the Caroline ship, the MV Mi Amigo, sunk. Its crew abandoned ship.
Radio Caroline broadcasting on 319 metres, 963 kilohertz. Well, we're sorry to tell you that due to the severe weather conditions and also to the fact that we're shipping quite a lot of water, we're closing down and the crew are at this stage leaving the ship. Obviously, we hope to be back with you as soon as possible, but we'd just like to assure you all on land that there's nothing to worry about. We're all quite safe. Just for the moment, we'd like to say goodbye. Tom?
Yeah, it's not a very good occasion, really. I have to hurry this because the lifeboat is standing by. We're not leaving and disappearing. We're going onto the lifeboat, hoping that the pumps can take it. If they can, we'll be back. If not, well, I don't like to say it.
I think we'll be back one way or another,
yeah,
Tom.
I think so.
From all of us, for the moment, goodbye and God bless.
In radio, sometimes it's the sound of nothing that's the most eerie, isn't it? The Radio Caroline ship, the Mi Amigo, sinking this week in 1980. The Mi Amigo had been one of Caroline's original ships. It's 2 years now since the second national commercial digital radio multiplex began switching on its services.
The launch of a broadcast giant. Talk Radio is here.
And wow, and there you are. And this, friends, is Talk Radio, a brand new and unique radio station online and on digital. It's Talk Radio, at last, a truly 21st century radio station for the 21st century, and about time too. And even better news, it's for the whole country, from north to south, from east to west, from Arbroath to Zeel Monachorum, which is Scotland, to Devon, by the way, from sea to shining sea. And you are with us in it from the very beginning, you lucky people. It's the beginning of a rip-roaring radio roller coaster.
Daniel Bedingfield with If You're Not The One. This is Jay Dewan. I'll be here every weekday morning from 10 till 2 p.m. playing you lots of fresh laid-back hits. More music coming up from Jennifer Hudson and Jamie Lawson next.
This is Magic Chilled.
The start of Magic Chilled and Talk Radio, which began this week in 2016. They now enjoy around a quarter of a million listeners each. The Heart brand enjoys 8 million listeners across the UK, underpinned, of course, by a tranche of FM transmitters formerly operated under a swathe of charming names. This week, 9 years ago, we said goodbye to 210, Fox, GWR, Orchard FM, Seven Sound, Gemini FM, Lantern FM, Plymouth Sound and South Hams Radio.
Plymouth Sound FM, the fresh collection.
Hello and welcome to a brand new show for Friday evenings with me, Neil Lewis, with you till 1 in the morning, with plenty of good music, of course, the 8 at 8, the Love Zone, and before all that, we start with an hour of new music.
Today's better music mix.
GWR-FM.
I'm on about the spaying of cats again, David. I don't want to be a bore, but I've still got some funds left, so anybody who's got... And it doesn't have to be somebody wanting to home or rehome a female cat, it could be their own cat. And there isn't any means test, though obviously I would prefer if they can really afford it to pay for it themselves and have it done. But if they're unwilling to spend the money, then I'm still prepared to pay for their cat to be sprayed.
That's very good. Gwen, contact number again, please.
21612.
Yes.
And I'll man the line from 9 until 11 tomorrow morning.
9 to 11 tomorrow morning, but not this morning.
Not this morning,
9
definitely.
To 11 tomorrow, 21612, and you're very kindly offering to pay the costs of spaying a cat... to anybody who can't afford it.
That's right. Or even if they can't afford it, but are unwilling to spend it that way. But if they can't or are unwilling to, then I will.
Right, Gwen. You're very kind. 21612. Let's hope people have made a note of that number and we'll give you a buzz between 9 and 11, not this morning, but tomorrow morning.
Many thanks, David.
Okay, Gwen.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Plymouth Sound time, 6 minutes past 11. Good morning, Terry. Would you go ahead, please?
Good morning, David. Yes, I have a grumble.
This is one that's done fairly well on imports. Been a monster in Birmingham and the West Midlands. And now it's out on British, it's going to do even better. For Warp 9, thing entitled Light Years Away.
We don't say a thing entitled anymore, do we? But the Chiltern group was always pretty funky. Just a flavour of the sound of the old brands there over the years, which became Heart this week in 2009. Chris Moyles now wakes up the nation on Radio X, but 7 years ago he was on Radio 1, and the BBC were getting pretty good value for money on Chris's longest radio show record-breaking attempt.
My God, I've been here forever.
Have you?
Yeah.
You were really early today.
Yeah. No. So, we're live. This is the beginning of our longest ever show. And you can watch it now on the website, or you can watch it on your red button. So if you're sitting in front of your telly or the computer waiting for us to switch the cameras on...
Is this your last link?
Yeah.
Done?
Done. Yeah.
Bed?
Bed.
Sleep.
Well, no phone. You've got to go on a little bit later.
Oh, I have, yeah.
Oh, I see. Me bed.
Yes, you.
Right, okay. Sisters, fire with fire. Thanks for watching on the red button. It's time for us to say goodbye.
Thank you, everybody.
All my team and Fern's team and Scott's team and everybody else's team, thank you very much. And bye-bye.
Just sleep forever now. Go.
On the TV now, look, there's all that's a little montage.
Oh, look, there's Nicole. Reese.
Look, there's all of us hugging. It's a bad shot. Look at my chins.
Chris Moyles this week in 2011. And if you're thinking of trying a record-breaking attempt, the current record for a radio talk show is 80 hours and 5 minutes. The most presenters on a single live radio show is 26, and the longest career for a female presenter, wait for this, 67 years, 292 days. So, with the Saga stations closing, ready for smooth 11 years ago.
Saga 106.6 FM.
Derek Jameson taking over from Ken Bruce on Radio 2 Breakfast 32 years ago.
Morning, morning. Yes, Jameson here.
At the launch of Tower FM 19 years ago.
The team that were behind the broadcast realised they had touched a nerve across Bolton and Bury and had started something far bigger than they had imagined.
Those are this week's
Radio Moments.
Thank you. Some great memories there, especially that Moyles longest broadcast. Remember exactly where I was listening to that. Well, that's it for this week. Thanks so much to all our contributors and our guests. Roy Martin, Will Jackson, James Cridland, David Lloyd, Trevor Dan, Kurt Edwards, and guests at the BBC Radio Awards, Bob Shannon, Ken Phillips, Chris Mason and Dino Sophos, Tim Lavelle and Tracy Williams, and Grace Dent. Next week, Lynn Bowles talks to Radio Today about leaving Radio 2 after 18 years doing the travel news there. And every week, we're going to take a look at the big stories in the industry. If you'd like to come on with me and Roy to talk radio and geek out a bit about the topical stuff, then get in touch. Email news@radiotoday.co.uk and we could be talking to you on a future episode. Thank you for listening. I'll talk to you next week.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.